You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Continuing now with our examination of housing issues in the Detroit area with a look at tax foreclosures. Jerry Paffendorf thinks Wayne County's heavy reliance on late tax payments to balance its once-out-of-whack budget is creating a push to foreclose on homes rather than do all the county can to keep people in their homes. He has another idea. Jerry Paffendorf is CEO of Loveland Technologies, based in Detroit in the San Francisco Bay Area. Loveland works with governments, developers, neighborhood groups, and more, all to gather and present information about property. In Detroit, that has meant battling what it calls a plague of tax foreclosures and trying to keep people in their homes to help battle neighborhood blight. Jerry Paffendorf, welcome.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
First of all, what is your take on the foreclosure problem?
First off, it's ridiculous. One in three properties in Detroit has been tax foreclosed and then auctioned to a random person over the last 15 years, which I think if it was any other city in the country, people would have put the brakes on this thing a long time ago. Unfortunately, we have low expectations for what to expect in Detroit, and that's a shame. And if you think about what that means that property ownership and the equity in owning property was seized from hundreds of thousands of Detroiters, predominantly African-American Detroiters, and transferred to strangers in a massive reshuffling of homeownership. So at a top level, yeah, I think it's a screwed up thing. So where are we right now? As your other guests have discussed, Wayne County has fallen into a sick reliance on the funds from tax foreclosure. To put it very succinctly, Wayne County makes more money when people don't pay their taxes on time than when they do. And if you're in the business of that as a government, you need to get out of that business because it means that you're screwing people over and you're budgeting something that if people understood it would never fly, ever. And so at the end of this process, if you don't pay your taxes for 3 years, the county treasurer seizes your property, puts it on an online auction, and a stranger buys it. If I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt for why this policy originally started, okay, because, you know, as happens, sometimes things have unintended consequences or side effects. When this policy was put in place, it was because people were leaving the city. And when you leave the city, you leave your property behind, typically. And so vacant homes were taking a long time to be put back into productive reuse. So if you have a process where it takes years and years and years and years to get title from someone who's abandoned it, that's a bad thing. But where we are right now is that it's not vacant properties that are being taken away from people. It's occupied homes make up the majority of the properties that are going into the tax foreclosure auction.
And indeed, you're estimating that probably about 4,000 occupied homes will be sold this fall at the tax foreclosure auction.
That is a number from the treasurer's mouth. They're anticipating auctioning 4,000 occupied homes over the internet to strangers in September. This is not theoretical. This is not something that's going to happen at some indeterminate point in the future. In September, like, where are we at in time right now? Like, less than 3 months, less than a season away, these homes are going to be sold to strangers. From what we know about them, it's a mixture of renters, owner-occupants, people who are on a land contract and getting screwed over by somebody who's pretending to be able to sell them the property but isn't keeping up their end of the bargain, family members whose mother or grandmother used to own the home but has passed away and they don't even understand how to work with the property taxes. And we know now because our company has followed this issue for years. I'm embarrassed to say how long we've been studying this and nothing has changed. We know that when you put an occupied home up at the tax foreclosure auction, a magical transformation does not happen where somehow a new family slides into the home or the person who buys it is really great to the people that are already living there right now. Those homes tend to go vacant. And when they go vacant, they get scrapped, and then weather gets in, and then they need to be demolished. So Wayne County knows that the auction is not a good thing to do with properties that fall 3 years behind on their taxes. Everyone is passing the buck on a solution because they're making so much damn money from it. And people need to understand that, and it needs to stop this year. We've basically got 3 months in which to decide that we're not going to sell grandma's house to a stranger, and we're going to decide that 4,000 homes is not too many homes to try and understand the situation of what's going on and come up with a better outcome than just throwing the dice and saying, hey, you know, good luck, grandma. This dude from California just bought your house, and now, hey, here comes a guy with an eviction notice next week, which is what happens in too many cases right now.
Now, you've got this idea that could give renters and prior owners a chance to be owners or owners again. And your idea
Correct.
Is to turn to foundations, to nonprofits, kind of like a grand bargain?
The simplest thing we can do to turn the tide on tax foreclosure is to change the way the auction works, because the most destructive element of the whole process is when you sell an occupied home to a stranger and then a family leaves. That's when you get the vacant homes. So when you break down the basic mathematics of what the county is trying to do, occupied homes tend to sell for about $6,000 on average at the auction. So if there are 4,000 occupied homes that go into the auction this year, that's about $24 million if you were to purchase all of them. If you remember, during the city's bankruptcy, during Detroit's bankruptcy, there was talk about possibly selling the art at the DIA, and people got up in arms about it. And a number of local foundations got together, and they did this thing, which is called the Grand Bargain, where they put up hundreds of millions of dollars against the art to pay down pensions, to pay off creditors, and protect the city's assets. And it was held up as a massive success, a great use of foundation funds, a very innovative use and a great use. It was successful. We can do the same thing with tax foreclosure. If you can save art, you can save people's homes. If you put together $24 million, put it up against those 4,000 homes, you wouldn't even just be making a donation necessarily, but the process would work where you remove them from the auction. The people that are living in those homes then have a chance to purchase the home back for the cost of the back taxes over time, recouping as much of the $24 million as possible. Maybe you get $24 million back. Maybe you get $12 million back. $12 million is a small price to pay to save even 1,000 homes in the city, let alone the potential for a higher number. So I do think that it's not only the responsibility of the county to stop selling the occupied homes, we need our philanthropic community, the wealth that we have in Southeast Michigan, to step up and recognize that this is the most destructive thing that we have going on in town right now. We have hundreds of millions of dollars pouring into Detroit's neighborhoods, and at the same time as that's happening, people are being foreclosed and their homes are being auctioned hand over fist. Mayor Duggan has said that the thing that you should judge him on is whether or not the population of the city increases under his tenure. First off, that's a bold claim to make. I mean, he's a butt kicker. I'm not knocking him for this. But he should be pissed off at Wayne County because the population of Detroit went down by another 4,000 last year. And the year before that at the tax auction, we auctioned 5,000 occupied homes. So it's difficult to draw straight lines, but would the population of Detroit have increased if we didn't auction the homes containing maybe 15,000 people in them? Yeah, probably. And then if you look at the demolition program, Detroit is spending hundreds of millions of dollars of federal taxpayer funds to tear down dilapidated homes, and we're still minting new vacant homes by the thousands every year through this tax foreclosure process. And people know this. What we need to do is we need to shine a flashlight into what our government is doing and make them say, okay, yeah, I'm going to stop it right now because this is ridiculous. There's too much cognitive dissonance in town right now with the downtown turnaround happening and all the great stuff happening in a lot of portions of Detroit. To have something this blatantly ridiculous and unfair and destructive continuing to happen. And I do think it starts from stopping selling the occupied homes, and there'll be a lot of spillover effects from that. Because when you decide to stop doing that, you need to engage with the people that are in the homes.
Jerry, who are the nonprofits, who in the philanthropic community would step up, has got that available resource, probably money and people, right? Because there'd be a lot of work to handle these thousands of homes.
Presge Foundation, Ford Foundation, Community Foundation of Southeastern Michigan, Skillman Foundation, Dan Gilbert, Rock Ventures. There's a lot of wealth that exists between private companies and particularly the philanthropic community. And the whole reason the philanthropic community, that foundations exist, they're basically allowed to exist because they put money to work for public benefit projects. And if there was ever a public benefit project that needed to happen in Detroit, it would probably be keeping thousands of people in their homes.
How far have you taken this idea? I'm wondering if you have any kind of firm to tentative commitments from any foundations.
I'm basically in a dialogue with the mayor, with the county treasurer, trying to get into a dialogue with County Executive Warren Evans. I'm sending them notes. I'm posting the notes that I get back from them. I just got a note back from the Wayne County treasurer. Part of the problem is everybody is pointing at someone else for why this problem exists. Mayor Duggan's like, oh, woe is me. It's a state law and the treasurer does what the treasurer has to do. And you talk to the treasurer and the treasurer's like, well, the county executive tells me how I need to spend my money. So, you got to talk to him. And then the county executive's like, well, you got to talk to the state. And then the state's like, well, that's just Detroit being Detroit again. So we're pushing publicly to get the facts out about what's happening. This is like, we have worked on trying to create reform in this for a number of years now. And I'm really losing my faith in Detroit's democracy that this issue still exists. And so our approach right now is to be public and honest about what's happening. And if that doesn't prevent the county from selling thousands of homes in September, that I'm just probably going to give up hope on Detroit because it's too much to hear all the good stuff going on in certain parts of the city and all the great data-driven approaches that the mayor is taking on a number of things, and then to have something this egregious still happening. So we are connected with all the players, and the strategy is to be honest and consistent in talking about it. And I think that the public opinion is firmly on the side of not selling these homes. Once you get it, once you see it, a common argument that I'll often hear, and it's an understandable one, I get it, is that what about the moral hazard? If you don't tax foreclose on people and sell these properties, what incentive do people have to pay their property taxes on time?
Yeah, couldn't this send a message to people, hey, you know what, you don't have to pay your taxes because a charity will cover it for you?
No, you already foreclosed on their home. Their equity is gone. You just don't need to sell them over the internet to strangers because the effect is so demonstrably detrimental. You can see it.
But they wouldn't have been in that position had they paid their taxes.
You got to think off the top, who are these people? Almost half of them are renters that pay money monthly to a landlord, and they're not responsible for their taxes. They're paying money to somebody who's screwing them over and not keeping up their end of the bargain. A lot of the other people who are in owner-occupied property situations genuinely have situations going on in their life where if they were approached in a more proactive, friendlier, more understandable way, which is completely possible for the city and the county to do, would be able to get onto a payment plan and pay their property taxes. But rather than do that, because the county profits from this, again, you heard from Joel in this piece, they make tens and hundreds of millions of dollars when people don't pay their taxes on time. So they're not incentivized to solve this kind of situation. So to look at the person living in the home and put the blame on them and not the government that conducts the process when you don't have to sell that home after 3 years of not paying taxes, when you know full well what's going to happen to it, the blame should be put onto the people who have the power to do something about it, not vice versa.
Jerry, is this a one-time ask of the foundations the way the Detroit bankruptcy grand bargain was? I mean, what would be the out or the end point for the foundations?
If you want to think about the future, as we all should, unfortunately, anytime you think about the future, too, the story starts getting more complicated. This effort to not sell the homes should be matched by a much more proactive outreach effort that starts immediately, where rather than waiting until like a month before homes are foreclosed and auctioned, which is what the county does almost every year, it's like they decide to go, well, I guess it's time to do triage on the emergency gunshot wound victim that we've known about for quite some time. Homes that are just going delinquent on their taxes should be visited. People should have easier options to get onto monthly payments for their property taxes, not this twice a year nonsense that we have. Basically, Detroiters get like two giant bills every year for the property taxes rather than making it something that people have an easy time paying and being conscious of. Detroit has the most distressed economy, and people clearly had the hardest time paying it. Other communities don't have 150,000 tax foreclosures over the last 15 years either. Some of them do. Actually, they tend to be the African-American communities that have all been through emergency management and are headed towards bankruptcy if they haven't been there, have this level of foreclosure, and they all have similar levels of not being serviced as they should be.
But back to the foundations. Is this a one-time ask, or is this something that you're looking at year after year?
The problems of Detroit are going to take some time to solve. The foundations are putting money. They all have annual programs. They put lots of money into the city of Detroit. Neighborhood projects, youth education, property rehab, blight elimination. There should be a portion every year which is set aside to help people pay their taxes on time and to prevent foreclosure. So I think that putting up the money to prevent the sale of the occupied homes could well be a one-time thing. But there needs to be eyeballs on this and dollars going into this next year and the year after, and maybe for the next 5 or 10 years until Detroiters finally are able to pay their property taxes on time to the city, which would prevent this entire thing from happening. It's just that everybody's in such debt. For your audience, we're looking at maybe another 50 or 60 or 70 or 80,000 properties receiving tax foreclosure notifications for 2018 this fall. These are properties that are 2 years or more behind on their property taxes. This problem is not going to be done this year. This has been going on for many years, and every year leadership is like, oh, well, this is the last year in a bad wave. This is the peak, and then it's going to go away. And it's not. People are in debt. They pay 18% interest on the taxes that they're behind on, and so they have a very hard time bailing themselves out of it. The city doesn't make it easy to pay your property taxes. Frankly, I think that's part of the issue is that we've done this for so long in Wayne County and Detroit that sometimes when you stop doing something wrong that you've been doing for a long time, you need to admit that you've had bad behavior, and it's very hard to get justice out of that.
Jerry, over the years, Loveland Technologies has been pretty inclined to work with elected officials in Wayne County and in Detroit on tax foreclosure issues, you now seem to be taking a more critical tone. What's changed?
Do I have permission to speak honestly to the residents of Michigan on our public airwaves?
Please.
Detroit is sort of in a data dark age right now, a hidden data dark age. And by that, I mean, going into the bankruptcy, there was sort of a renaissance of like, let's be honest about what's happening with our problems. Let's show it. And we worked on a project in particular called Motor City Mapping, where we hired Detroit residents. There were about 200 city residents that went out and literally visited every single parcel of property in the city using a mobile application that Loveland built, where you could photograph each parcel and then punch through a menu of options about how the land is being used, if a property is vacant, what the condition of it is there dumping, is there fire damage, et cetera. So it created a parcel-by-parcel picture of the city that had never been seen before. And the notion of that work was to continuously update it so we could see where things were backsliding, so we could see where progress is happening. And frankly, there's a lot of stuff in Detroit that's not improving yet. And I don't think anybody should necessarily be taking the blame for it. It's a really hard problem. But there are more vacant homes today in the city of Detroit than there were 4 years ago when the demolition program started, which has torn down 12,000 homes. And nobody's going to tell you that, that works for the city, that works for the county, that works in the data scene in Detroit, because they're all terrified, because powerful people are saying, don't show that information to people. That could be bad for our business. And I frankly think it's ridiculous. It's cognitive dissonance. I don't know how you can live in a city or be in a democracy that has that much of a sham going on, that people are not honest about these things. So yeah, when you try to stop occupied homes from being sold for like 3 or more years in a row, and you see how ridiculous it is, and you see how detrimental it is to your city, and the people in charge don't do anything about it, at some point you have to leave the party and say, this is wrong. I don't care if I'm blacklisted. You need to stop this now. And if it can't be stopped, then this probably isn't a city worth living in.
Jerry Paffendorf, CEO of Loveland Technologies. Jerry, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks. Somebody is going to win a Pulitzer Prize for putting this story together properly, because it may sound crazy, but it is that destructive to the city that we live in. And it is so in plain sight, but so deep, that when somebody puts it together, people are not going to believe it. So thank you for taking the time to report on it.
And we reached out to Wayne County Treasurer Eric Sibree to discuss the budget issues and efforts that his office is pursuing to help with tax foreclosures. He did not respond to our request for an interview.